Hey, it's Chris Jones with the Jones Zone, and this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Jones Zone at Keller Williams Realty. That's right, we sponsor our own podcast. So if you know of anybody looking to buy, sell, rent, or invest in residential real estate in the Charlotte, Rock Hill, Fort Mill area, have them connect with us on their favorite platform. Enjoy the show.
It's Chris and Brian Jones, your real estate advocates, community connectors, talking Charlotte and York County area real estate, and interviewing business owners, entrepreneurs, and community leaders. Welcome to the Jones Zone Podcast.
All right, count me down. 3, 2, 1, hit it, Chris.
Welcome to the Jones
Zone
Podcast. You made fun of me last week for going too slow, so I'll slow it down.
I made fun of you for going too fast.
No, for too slow.
Well, why'd you slow it down even further then?
Just to stick it to you.
Just to give it to you.
AKA the House of Jones Podcast.
Ooh.
I'll give that to you.
You like that?
Yes. How's your weekend?
It was good.
What'd you do?
I didn't do.
You didn't do chore, like housework? You didn't do anything for our business? I mean, what'd you do?
I cleaned the house. I did housework. What do you mean? I did stuff for our business. I reached out to people. What'd you do?
I didn't do anything.
Yeah, precisely.
All right, so we are joined by two of our friends, Terrell Royster, Back to Basics Athletic Training. What's up, man?
What's going on, fellas?
A familiar voice and friend of the Jones Zone.
Have you been on twice?
Second time.
He might be our first set two-timer.
He is.
Plus the video. Do we like this guy or something?
We like this guy. He's a good guy. He's a good fella. He's a stand-up guy.
He's all right.
But today is even more special because he brought Tiffany Poles with him.
With him.
I know. I almost said with her, so then I caught myself.
Yeah.
With Tiff's Braid Creations, Charlotte's premier hair braider. If you want large box braids, small box braids, cornrows, Iverson braids, anything that you want, Tiffany Poles is your go-to girl. So guys, welcome to the Jones Zone.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Good to have you. So we all know about Terrell, but Tiffany, that was a brief kind of introduction about who you are and what you do. But if you don't mind, walk us through a little bit of your personal story, some of your professional background, and then how you got into doing all this braiding and stuff.
Well, braiding for me is more of a hobby at first. Like, it's a natural given talent. I've never gone to hair school. I can draw a little bit, so that helps with the creativity. I just always love braiding hair. It's more like my woosah. Like, it's very comforting for me. And I'm actually good at it a little bit, so people want to pay for it. So it makes it pretty cool.
What does drawing have to do with braiding? You have to forgive my ignorance.
And what's a large box, small box?
Basically the size of the braid. Like if you can see the braids I have, these would be considered small. So the braids can get bigger and bigger. Like as far as the size of the box on your head.
Okay.
So like if you have large box braids, you may only have 50 braids. Okay. Whereas if you have small box braids, I may have 200 braids in my head. So it's basically a size variance, and that can contribute to how long you want to keep them in. The bigger braids don't last as long.
Okay. Interesting. So how does being good at art, you mentioned drawing, you were good at drawing. What does that have to do with anything?
I can only speak for me. Honestly, with braids, people say, well, braids are in style, they're out of style, they're in style, they're out of style. But when you can create a demand for something, it's never out of style. So being that I am an artist as well as a braider, my creativity and my uniqueness of my styles keeps people wanting it all the time. So I've never had a down period where I didn't have clients, you know, thank God. Basically, it's like I have clients who come every 2 weeks and have never gotten the same style twice.
Do you design the styles and stuff? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have to come to you with a clip out of a magazine saying they want that?
I mean, sometimes they do. Or they'll say, Tiff, I've seen your work. Just do your thing. You know, I trust you. I've seen what you can do. That's where social media helps a lot, and having my website where people can see my work and they're like, you know, your creativity, you know, my head doesn't look like anybody else's. So having that, being able to create things where it's personal, like, you know, I don't like my hair parted on the left. Can you do it on the right? I can do that. And the precision and the neatness and the cleanness of it, you can have somebody who braids, and if they don't have clean parts, it can take away from the whole style itself because it looks sloppy. So being that I can draw, it helps with my precision. So it gives you more of a cleaner outlook.
That's weird. That is so interesting to me, because a drawing is, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but your drawing is probably 2D, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have to make that into like a real three-dimensional mm-hmm. thing on a human's head mm-hmm. where it actually looks good. So that's impressive.
Speaking of heads, mm-hmm. you know a lot about hair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Off the top. Uh-huh. Whatever comes to your mind first. Mm-hmm. Better head of hair, Chris or me. Just say it.
You might have a little bit more density in your hair. I'm just saying.
She said density.
Yeah, meaning it's easier to work with.
Easier to work with. Yeah. I'll take that. That means. Yeah. Could you braid my hair?
Yes.
How would you braid my hair?
Braid it.
With her fingers. What do you mean?
How no, I meant like it's not that long.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be.
It doesn't need to be long.
At least, well, like as far as designs, the longer the hair, a little bit more easier with designs. Really, I tell people 3 to 4 inches because a lot of times people don't come to me for straight back braids. They want those designs. So, like, I would say you need to grow your hair a little bit longer on the top if you wanted to get designs. But if you just wanted, like, 2 braids to the back, it could be done.
Interesting.
All right, so walk us through a little bit of your journey then. So, mm-hmm. you're a little girl. I mean, were you interested in this at an early age? And then how did you find out that you had this talent and that, this was something that you wanted to do?
Well, honestly, it wasn't that. It was more so when I was little, hair just came naturally to me. And I had a lot of it on my own head. And I didn't always like the styles that my mom did. So I started braiding my own hair. So that's really where I started at 9, 10 years old, was braiding my own hair.
Jeez.
So then from there, my friends were like, you know, hey, Tiff, can you braid my hair? And I'm like, sure, let's do it. Then I had 2 brothers growing up. 2 of my brothers had hair, so I would braid my brother's hair. And then it went from there. You started braiding their teammates' hair because my brothers play sports. You started braiding their teammates' hair. And then my mom's friends from work wanted their hair braided. And it just kind of domino effect from there. But, I mean, back then, I was charging maybe $5, $10 because I wasn't doing it for the money.
Yeah.
I was just doing it because I liked to do it and I liked the challenges. Like, when my brothers would ask me, hey, can you put my football number in my head? Okay, let me draw it first. Okay, and this braid needs to end here. All right, let's do it.
Wow.
And that's kind of where it started as far as the designs and the stuff, like, you know, the extra, like, creativity came from challenges. Like, when I braided the Mickey Mouse in the young girl's head, her family was going to Disney World. And her mom told me, hey, I want something, you know, my daughter, she's going through some bullying, you know, at school, and I want something that's going to boost her self-esteem. So I said, okay, you know, she had told me they were going to Disney World, and I said, yeah, let's put Mickey in her head. And her mom was like, yeah, okay. So you're just going to do like a little circle, 2 ears. And, you know, I said, no, I want to put Mickey in her head. She's like, man, you can't do it. That's all I need to hear.
Yeah.
I said, give me a second. I said, told her to give me like 20 minutes because I have to draw it. Because the thing is, when you're doing braids with designs, some braiders may use colored hair to make it pop. To me, that's cheating. If I'm going to do it, I want to do it solely with braids. Like, I want you to look at it and not have to put the picture next to it. So you're like, oh, okay, I can kind of see it now. Oh, now I see what it is. No, when you see my design, you're like, oh, snap. That's Mickey in the back of that girl's head.
Yeah.
Like, that's the reaction that I want. And those designs do take time, but the outcome is awesome.
So how much time does it take, typically?
Typically, like, for characters, it depends on the size of the head and the amount of space I have. I've actually braided Olaf in my daughter's head for a braid competition. So that one was a little different. her theme was Frozen.
Yeah.
So if you looked at her from the front, I did white braid. I don't know if you guys have young girls or have seen Frozen.
I've seen Frozen.
Okay, so from the front, I did her hair in box braids, but the hair was white. So from the front, I did that big crown braid that Elsa had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the big loose braid. So from the front, she looks like Elsa.
Is that like 3 strands?
Yes. Well, there are a bunch of small braids and I braid them together and kind of pulled it apart. So it was a big loose braid like how Elsa's was on Frozen. But then when she turns around, the back of her head was Olaf.
That's awesome.
So yeah, so it's like doing stuff like that. Now granted, that wasn't an everyday hairstyle, of course. That was actually for a braid competition. But doing stuff like, as far as the characters, those take more time. You're talking 3, sometimes 4 hours, depending on what I'm doing.
Wow.
But that's also not a style I do all the time either. Yeah. Those are like definitely special occasions, birthdays, or, you know, for a photo shoot or competitions. relatively, as far as my designs, like the Iversons, you're looking at between 2 to 3 hour range average.
Okay, so I've heard Iverson braids a couple times. I don't know what that is.
What is that?
Yeah.
Basically, before Iverson was who he is, they were called fishbone braids.
Okay.
Where basically they're a bunch of little small braids that connect to a big braid.
Okay.
So if you take the scale, I mean, take the bones out of a fish, you know, you have the small bones that are out and then the spine per se. That's where fishbone braids. But Iverson was known for that style. That was a style that he wore more than any other braided style that he ever had. And because with his presence in the NBA, with the tattoos and the braids, he kind of got labeled as, you know, bringing urban culture to the NBA per se to a whole nother level. So why not, you know, give him something? Okay, practice. Iverson braids. Yes, we're talking about practice.
Practice.
Yes, exactly.
What kind of braid did he have when he stepped over Tyronn Lue, who also had braids in the finals?
Yeah, Tyronn Lue, that actually that? Had that poster. That was my background.
Made that into a poster?
Yes, that was my background, man. On Black Planet.
He's Tyronn got it made. Lue, trust
yeah,
me, he's Tyronn got it made.
Tyronn Lue had straight backs. Like, he had just braids going to the back, and Iverson probably had Iversons.
He just shows up. LeBron runs the show. It's like, I wonder if he even goes to practice.
I'm sure he does.
Barely.
All right, so you're a little girl, you're 9 and 10. How did this progression take place to where you found yourself with your own business and your own shop and all that? I mean, walk us through a little bit of that. How you transitioned to all that?
Well, I would say I was braiding. You know, I always played sports, so I didn't have a whole lot of free time growing up. Like, we were always involved in stuff, but when I did have free time, most of the time I was doing hair. I remember my mom used to charge me $5 a head for every head that I did in her house. Like, it was like basically teaching me at a young age. Yeah, exactly. Boost rent. And then I remember when I was 17, my dad and my mom were like, listen, we're tired of strangers coming to our house. Like, you know, I understand we want you to, you know, do what you do. You're making your money. You're in high school. But they're not coming to our house anymore. And like, my mom's finding hair in the couch, hair in the bathroom. Like, no. So I started working in a shop at 17, and it was crazy transitioning, but fun at the same time. Because, you know, I was there with another high school friend of mine. We worked together at the shop, and it was so crazy because my dad put a time limit. Because, mind you, I'm a junior in high school. So my dad's like, 9 o'clock, I don't care if you're in mid-braid. You're done for the day. And there were some times I would test him, and he wasn't playing. Like, I had to learn how to braid faster. I had to learn how to camouflage hairstyles. Like, okay, do all the outside first in case we don't finish. Because when 8:59 came, I better be cleaning up my station because my dad's pulling up outside. So, like, it was serious because my parents were like, yes, we want you to be able to work and, you know, to learn how to, you know, sustain yourself and have a job. But at the same time, education was first. So, like, a lot of people who meet me now, they're like, oh, that's Tiff that braids hair. They don't know I have a college education. They don't know I worked corporate for years. They see me as a braider, but they don't understand, like you say, the journey. So it's like, for me, having a business and only been doing it full-time for 4 years, what I've accomplished in 4 years, I know people who've been doing hair for 20 years and haven't accomplished what I've accomplished. And I feel that having that journey before I was a full-time braider is what has helped me. Having a degree in business and taking marketing, taking accounting, knowing how to brand myself. Like, I've never paid for followers on Instagram. I've never paid, you know, having to do all these. I just post what I love. And so sometimes that causes conflict in the house because Rel's like, you know, you're worth so much more. You should be charging so much more. But for me, I'm not motivated by money. Granted, I know I could charge more because I know my gift and I know my worth and my talent. But I don't want to be that person where my local clients can't afford me.
Yeah.
Because I take so much pride in them because they're the ones that keep me going. Where I have those young girls who, you know, with braids and natural hair now, it's like, I want to still be able to be reachable. You know what I mean? So like when I'm doing my celebrities, yeah, they pay more because they demand a lot more. You know, you got to fly here. You got to go here. We need you all day, but you're really only braiding for 20 minutes. You know, so it's the parameters are different. But for my local clients, I know I'm not the cheapest, but I'm fair, you know what I mean? And I want you to be able to come every 2-3 weeks because me and boredom is never a good thing. So I like being booked a couple months out. Like, that's good for my sanity and his, because, you know, we live together. So it's kind of an evolving thing. I'm still learning, because sometimes I do get tunnel vision.
Yeah.
When I have a goal, I'm that type of person where I'm focused on that goal. And I don't see anything else until that goal is accomplished. And that's something that I have to work on, because, you know, it's not the greatest thing. But to be goal oriented is great, but you can't lose focus of everything else that's around.
How do you set your goals? Do you...
Well, usually in the beginning of the year, I'll have a list of things I want to accomplish in that year. Some things will be in the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter.
So you break them down?
I break them down.
Yeah.
And then also I break down the steps. What do I need to accomplish that's to smart. Reach that goal?
Yeah, Tony Robbins said that in one of his DVDs that I listened to. It's like, whenever you're setting goals, it's always best to break them up into chunks, because mm-hmm. otherwise you get overwhelmed and mm-hmm. you don't accomplish any of them.
Mm-hmm.
So. What's some of your corporate background, and then what gave you the confidence to go out on your own and become an entrepreneur?
I would say with my corporate background, I don't know if I could list employers. I mean, I'm a proud ex-employee of Verizon Wireless.
Okay.
I worked in the call center. I love helping people. You get a lot of people say, oh, I hate call center life. As far as talking...
Is that a hashtag,
like, call center life? Yes, call center life. Yeah, really. I like helping people. So, like, a lot of times when people call in, they're calling because they have a problem. I like to get to the root cause of the problem and solve it. So that way you don't have to call back. But with that, you have to build rapport. You have to listen. You have to care. You get a lot of people who process people. I'm not that person. I actually want to listen to you. Like, it got to the point where I would have customers, when they call in, I want to speak to Tiffany Poles from the Rochester call center or from the Charlotte call center. And they would email me. Their rep would email me, hey, I got a return caller on the phone. They only want to talk to you.
Wow.
Because I would build that rapport with them. So it's like, when you're working for such a large company, you reach people from every demographic. And that's one thing for me that's so important. Like, yes, I braid hair, but I braid everyone's hair. Like, even if you looked at my clientele, all of my clientele is in Black. I have Asian, I have Caucasian, I have Latino, I have... Basically, I've covered all seven nations. And I love that. Because for me, it's more than just braiding. It's bringing people together and understanding that hair is hair. It's an art form. It's like saying, oh, Picasso can only be here. Or, you know, this can only be there. No. If you can grow it, I can braid it. I need to put up a t-shirt.
I was just about to say that. That's a t-shirt.
So how has braiding helped you out? I mean, it sounds like it's therapeutic mm-hmm. and it's helpful to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you feel like braiding hair provides that for you, or that connection with people? And
yes, I feel like a lot of times I've become that braider who they give challenges to. So, like, people ask me all the time, and, like, I've talked to stylists where, you know, I got tired of braiding, so I went back to corporate, or I got tired, you know, I didn't have the clientele, or my shop didn't do well, and for me, it's like, I remember when I was still living in New York, and I was considering doing hair full-time, but they were like, you know, with hair, it's hit or miss, sometimes braids are in style, sometimes braids aren't in style, it's not really sustainable. Like, you know, just do it part-time. Like, we're not saying you're not good at it, but always keep that corporate job. And that's what was in my head. Like, you know, keep the corporate job for the stability, but let braiding be your play money. And I did that for years. But it's like, when it got to the point where I'm using vacation from my corporate job, but I'm not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the house braiding hair.
Yeah.
Because my days off were already full, and I still had people that wanted their hair done. So it's like, yes, I'm good at my corporate job and I'm excelling and I'm doing well, but I wasn't happy.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
So for braiding, for me, it's not really work. Excuse me. Not really work. I'm joking.
No, you're okay.
I know, right? You don't need this. It's not really work. It's something I love to do. It's like
what's that expression? Find what you love to do, you'll never work a day,
in your life. Yeah. Exactly. And that's what it is. And like, I get clients who act, because like, I'm very approachable. Like, you get people, oh, she has 36,000 followers on Instagram, you know, she's a celebrity. And man, people say that until they meet me. And then they're like, oh, Tiff, you cool. Like, you're regular.
I was like, she's cool.
Like, you're real chill. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't do this to be famous. Like,
well, that's why we do this podcast. Yeah. So you can be famous.
If I can help you with that, by all means. But that's not why I do it.
Well, what are some of the doors that being so skilled as a braider has opened up for you? I mean, I know you're going to the NBA All-Star weekend, mm-hmm. but what are some of the cool experiences that you've got to have? And not that you need to name drop, but mm-hmm. You've mentioned that you've worked with some celebrities mm-hmm. and stuff. So what kind of gates has being a braider opened up for you?
I would say it opened me up to things that I was never interested in the beginning. Like, I would say I remember my first time ever being booked by a TV show was Total Divas.
Oh, WWE. Yeah. Well, I don't love Total Divas. Chris does.
I braided Trinity Fatu.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I braided her hair. And it was crazy because they called me. Yeah, they called me and I'm like, who? You know, I didn't watch wrestling. Like, whoa. I mean, I was a Rock fan, but, you know, we smell what the Rock is cooking, yeah. and I used to always get in trouble for saying, suck it, you know, yes. people are like, yeah, yeah. So, but I was never really a WWE, you know, fan. So when they called me, I'm like, who? Who are you? What show is this? And after, you know, and then, you know, people play. So I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. They're like, well, what's your email address? And I'm like, okay, well, we need to send you over the contracts and let me know if you're available and let me know who will what.
Yeah.
Okay, I think this is real. Like,
let me give you my real email address. Hold
exactly.
on.
Exactly. So they emailed it to me, and I'm reading it over, and I have a good friend who has a law degree. I'm like, hey, can you read this over? He's like, is this real? And she's like, no, Tiff, it's real. Like, they're sending me tax forms and everything, and I was like, oh, wow. They flew me to Florida, put me up in a hotel. I braided her hair, and they paid me, and I came home. I was like...
she's from Orlando, right?
Yeah, is this like, Tamina?
No, this is Trinity. Trinity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's... And then I found out she's... married to one of Rafiki's sons, the twins.
Rikishi. Naomi. Oh, yeah. Okay. Naomi, yeah. See, I don't watch Total Divas. I know her by her stage.
Name?
Yeah.
Her,
how dare you? Her performance name.
Her work name.
Her work name. Yeah. So there's Jimmy and Jey Uso. So she's...
Yeah, she's one of the Usos. Yeah.
All right, it wasn't that funny, Ralph. Yeah.
That's really cool, man. I think she wears a wig now, right?
Well, she's on this lime, these neon color things now.
Her whole
so
thing
it's a lime
is like
green.
Feel the glow.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, that's really
But
cool.
that was pretty dope.
Yeah.
It was pretty dope.
WWE.
Yeah.
NBA. Look at you. That's really awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome.
All right. So, you two live together. You got a beautiful daughter. Mm-hmm. You're both entrepreneurs. You both have clients. How do you guys manage all this, man? Is it just every day?
You want to answer this?
Every day's a circus or what?
Well, I'm pretty much the one who has to do most of everything.
Hey, join the club.
Wait a minute.
Wow. Okay, we're going to...
This is fun, guys.
Let me pause this.
Take two.
She's at the shop most of the time, so it's easier for me to take, you know, my daughter to the gym versus taking her to the shop. She may want to go to the shop if she's tired of me. If I don't hold it together, let us pray, because she's going to have serious tunnel vision. If everything's going to be just, I got to do this, I got to do that, and I have to remind her that balance is the key. So I try to teach her balance. That's the most important thing. Without balance, it's just horrible. And this would not have lasted 11 years, for sure.
How do you guys keep each other motivated and support each other? I mean, I know you get... entrepreneur, we live that life too. It's up and down, it's goods and bads. And how do you guys keep each other uplifted and motivated and ready to go?
I would say, honestly, being each other's biggest cheerleader. I don't know if I want to call you a male cheerleader, but you know,
it's okay.
But you know, but it's like it, and we've been blessed, honestly, to have clientele that we can share. Like, I braid their hair, he trains their kids, or you know, he'll train the sons and I braid the daughters. Like, we piggyback off each other. So like, when he's training, hey, you never need your hair braided, you know, one braids hair. Or if I'm training, hey, I saw your daughter as a basketball jersey, she's coming from AAU, if she ever needs one-on-one training, you know, Rel trains. So it's like, we piggyback off each other, and we've been blessed where the fact that we're both entrepreneurs, we're able to do things together. Like our back to school clinic, we did it together. A lot, some of our clinics, we do them together, you know? So yes, we're apart, but then we have times when we can work together, and it definitely helps.
So that this is a perfect segue into the new, or the training camp you have coming up.
Yes.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
I am raising money for breast cancer awareness. It is October 28th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Bank Street Gym. You can sign up online. It's $60 per kid. The money is going towards breast cancer, actually. And I'm also selling breast cancer awareness t-shirts. www.backtobasicsat.com is where you can book everything, sign your kids up, and get your t-shirt. I had a couple of family members that passed away from it, and when I was a kid, so I always told myself, when I get older.
So this is like a personal...
It's very personal. Yeah. So I told myself when I get old enough and actually somewhat established, I want to find a way to get back. And so this is just my way of trying to help out the world. This is already kind of messed up, and praying for Vegas, by the
way.
Man,
that was... Oh, I know, dude. What is going on with the world? That was...
It's something else, man. So the gym is it's a 1 day clinic, or one not the day. Gym, but the clinic is 1 day. It's at Bank Street, which is out near the golf course, right?
In Fort Mill. Yes.
Cool. And the proceeds are going to.
I need help finding which one is actually a great one to donate to. So I've been doing my research on that. Because I know I heard about a couple of them. They don't actually get the money.
There's a lot of charities.
A lot of the big charities out there pay their CEOs and they pay their board members first.
Exactly. So I'm actually trying to find like a smaller one that actually it'll actually everything actually go towards research and then for the
Right things. I have a friend who is a breast cancer survivor. I can reach out to her, see if she knows which ones are good.
Yeah.
And that.
Or even if we can't, you know, get a hold of an organization, sometimes the families of these breast cancer survivors or the ones that are still going through it need assistance too. You know, and that's as well as helping with awareness, because the breast cancer doesn't just affect the person who has the cancer.
Yeah.
It affects everyone in their household, everyone around them. And if you think about spouses, you know, if, you know, your spouse is in the hospital, how often are you working? Yeah. You know, who's watching the kids and who's, you know, because you want to be there for them. So it can be just as strenuous on everybody in that household. So just being support all the way around, I feel is real important.
Yeah. For real. All right, guys. Well, let's take the last minute or two to kind of take it home. Recap what you guys do. How can people get in touch with you? The services that you provide, all that sort of stuff. And then we'll end it up.
Okay. Well, as far as to get in touch with Tiff's Braids, it is T-Y-P-H. You know, not your typical T-I-F-F-A-N-Y.
Yeah.
It is T-Y-P-H-S. Braids, and that's everything. It's the website, it's Instagram, it's the Twitter. Tiff's Braids is the link to my world, per se. But yeah, I'm rocking it here, tiffsbraids.com website. But yeah, it's I do work by appointment only. It's just a little easier because of my travel schedule. I usually know my travel schedule at least 2 months out, so I do work by appointment only, but you know, if you don't see a time that works for you, you know, definitely reach out to me. I do talk to people. Contrary to what people think, you know, people have Instagram followers, I do answer my DMs. Rel hates it sometimes, because they do add up.
Let me ask you. All right, so the days and times that we live in, you guys are active on social media big time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How has social media changed your business, in especially Instagram in your world where everything's so visual?
Mm-hmm.
How has Instagram helped your business?
I would say as far as locally, Instagram isn't more seeing my clients in person. I get more clients. As far as what Instagram has done for me is when I travel, because like when I'm going to these other cities, it's just a matter of me changing hashtags and I'm now being seen by people in those areas, or, you know, adding people to tagging people in those areas on my pictures. So as far as like me getting my classes out there and me, like when I'm traveling, going to different cities, like when I went to Toronto, I braided in Toronto for OVO Fest, OVO Bounce, the Drake's basketball tournament. So you know, there were some people in Canada that knew me, but I wanted more people in Canada to know me. So I just changed my hashtags, did some research, you know, what's hashtags that people in Canada use. And basically, I know, right? And basically, like, using it backwards, because, like, I think people sometimes get misconstrued on what hashtags are. They're search engines.
Yes.
So you have to think backwards.
Reverse engineer.
What do I want people to search where I am the result? So when you look at it that way, you're not putting edges on fleek and braids on fleek, or, you know, and one, like, you're not, you want to do something that's suitable to actually bring the return. You're not just putting whatever the slogan is of the week. No, you're Toronto braider, braids in Toronto, Toronto stylist. Like, you wanted to do stuff that people are actually looking for. And then, of course, OVO Fest. And it was crazy because I'm in Toronto, you know, at my Airbnb, and I had no idea Majid Jordan was upstairs for me. Majid Jordan, they are one of Drake's artists.
Okay.
Like, basically, they are huge in Canada.
Who's Drake? You mentioned Drake.
I never heard of her.
Never heard of her. I mean, this guy who I think raps, and he's from Canada, I think. But he's kind of important up there.
You know, he was on the show Degrassi.
Yeah.
Wasn't he in a wheelchair?
Yeah, he got shot. He had his, like, school shooting episode.
And he kind of phased off and haven't heard from him since.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who, like, never would excel after TV.
Yeah. Never would have made it.
Yeah, we'll never hear from him again.
What about you, Terrell, man? How are you using social media to help?
I am using it as far as it helps for me being new to the Charlotte area. So it helps a lot. And as far as getting my name out there, it's helped a whole lot. So I have a couple of celebrities actually following me, so that's good to know. And let the world see my talent. And that's the whole goal. I don't really want to be like a local guy. I've never been local anyway, so.
That's, I like how you use your platform. She's doing the big head thing. But I like how you're using your platform to showcase the kids and the talent that you're working with.
Yes.
Because you got them doing some crazy drills.
Yes.
Dribbling tennis balls and basketballs, throwing tennis balls against the wall.
The sled thing killed. I was like, why has he got that kid pushing a sled?
Power, man. Yeah. It works on their strength.
It's mental toughness, because it's basically basketball you use as a tool, a way to how to get to situations in life. So if you really hate that sled and all the weights I put on that sled and you manage to get through that, so just imagine the situation you're going through in life. It's the same scenario, just different situation, but you just use it all to come together, and it probably won't click until you get like a little older or something happens to you during the season and you're like, I don't understand why coach is doing this, I'm having an off game. You'll start remembering all these crazy stuff I put you through. I do it for a reason. We all do the same drills. It's just I have to be able to reach you different from that trainer.
Yeah. So. It's kind of like when I was in the Navy SEALs training. They would always... I'm joking. I
thought you almost got kicked out of the Air Force. And you're talking about.
I didn't always get kicked out. I got recycled in basic training because I wrote a letter to my mom. Oh, wow. That's another story.
Hey, Terrell, did you see the CEO shootout footage?
I did.
All right, quick question. Now that you've seen the footage, who has a better jump shot? Me or
the person that beat you?
Or Steph Curry?
Okay.
I'm going to go with you, man. The form is definitely elbow tight.
Yeah, Steph just kind of.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, just throws.
If we're talking about form, we can't not talk about form and not talk about.
Ball.
Oh, yeah.
He drilled a three last night, man.
Yeah. His.
I don't know about that.
As far as the marketing goes with the Ball family, I respect it. I like what they are doing.
I'd be a head of hair you could do some work on, too.
But, like, they have their own Facebook show.
Yes.
And they're what they're doing is they're controlling their own personal narrative.
Yes.
So they're not waiting for other people to come to them. They are taking advantage of the society we live in. And it's culture hacking. Mm-hmm. Is all it is. It's culture hacking. That's Gary Vaynerchuk's question. But that's true, though. Yeah.
Yeah. They're definitely geniuses. I give them that.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, Terrell, Tiff, TT.
TT Square.
Thanks for coming on the Jay-Z.
Thanks so much for listening to the Jones Zone Podcast with Chris and Brian Jones. We'll catch you on the next episode.